Chapter 11, The Dream of the Third Attention. The dream of the second attention ends when something very important happens in our lives, something called the Last Judgment. This is the very last time we judge either ourselves or anybody else. It's the day we accept ourselves just the way we are, and we accept everybody else just the way they are. When the day of our last judgment comes, the war in our head is over, and the dream of the third attention begins. And it will be the end of our world, but also the beginning of our world, because we are no longer in the dream of the warriors. We are in the upper world, or what I call the dream of the masters. The masters are former warriors. They have won their personal war, and they are at peace. The dream of the masters is a dream of truth, a dream of respect, a dream full of love and joy. It's the playground of life. It's what we are meant to live, and only awareness can take us to that place. Many religions talk about the last judgment as if it's a punishment for sinners. They describe it as the day when God comes and judges us and destroys all sinners. This isn't true. The Last Judgment is a card in the tarot, which is an ancient mythology from Egypt. When the mystery schools talk about the Last Judgment, we can hardly wait for that day, because it's the day when the dead come out of their grave, which means we resurrect. It's the day when we recover awareness and awaken from the dream of the underworld. It's the day when we're no longer afraid to be alive again. This is when we come back to our real state, our divine self, where we feel a communion of love with everything in existence. The resurrection is a wonderful concept from mystery schools all around the world. Once you have the awareness that almost everything you learned through symbols is not the truth, the only thing left is just to enjoy life, and that's the resurrection. When you give meaning to everything through symbols, your attention is dispersed on many things at once. When you take away the meaning from everything, you're in communion, and you become the whole thing to yourself. You become the only living being that exists. There's no difference between you and any star in the sky, or you and any rock in the desert. Everything in existence is part of the only living being in existence. When you experience this truth, even for a moment, the whole structure of your belief system disappears, and you're in that wonderful dream of heaven. Today can be a day just like every other day, or today can be a day of celebration, the day of your resurrection, the day that you change your world by coming back to life. It can be the day for the real you to come out of that grave of believing that you are what you think you are, and become what you really are. In the dream of the third attention, you finally have the awareness of what you are, but not with words. And because there are no words to explain what you are, you go back into peace, the place where you don't need to use words to know what you are. This is what the masters in the esoteric philosophies would reveal to their apprentices. The highest point you can reach is when you go beyond symbols and become one with life, with God. Ancient religions claim that nobody can say the name of God, and it's absolutely true, because there is no symbol to describe God. The only way to know God is to be God. When you become God, you say, "Oh, that's why I could not learn the symbol." The truth is that we don't know the name of the one who created us. The word God is just a symbol that represents what really exists. And I resist this word because it's a symbol that has become so distorted. If we use symbols to describe God, we need to agree on the meaning of the symbols. And then, what point of view are we using? There are billions of different points of view. As an artist, I do my best to paint God with words, and it's the only thing I can offer, a picture of God from my personal point of view. Whatever I say, of course, is just a story. That's only the truth for me. And maybe this will make sense to you, and maybe it won't, but at least you'll have an idea of my personal point of view. The dream of the masters is a little difficult to explain because the real teaching is not with words. It's with the presence. If you could feel the presence of a master, you would learn much more than you can from words. Words can't express even a tiny bit of the experience. But if you use your imagination, words can take you to the place where you can have the experience for yourself. And this is my intention right now, for you to expand your awareness to the point where you can perceive what you really are, where you can feel what you really are. Instead of using words, perhaps a better way is to put you face to face with God so you can see God. And if I show you God face to face, what you're going to see is yourself. Believe it or don't believe it, but you'll see yourself because you are the manifestation of God. And if you could see what's moving your body, then you would see the real God. Look at your own hands. Move your fingers. The force that moves your fingers is what the Toltec call intent, or what I call life, the infinite, or God. Intent is the only living being that exists, and it's the force that is moving everything. You're not the fingers. You're the force that is moving them. The fingers obey you. You can give whatever explanation you want. Oh, my brain, my nerves. But if you go for the truth, the force that moves your fingers is the same force that makes you dream. It's the same force that opens a flower or moves the wind or creates a tornado or makes the stars move throughout the universe or makes electrons move around atoms. There's only one living being, and you are that being. You are that force that manifests itself in infinite ways throughout all the universes. The first manifestation of that force is light or energy, which is the same thing. And everything is created through this energy. Scientists know that everything is made of energy. And since there's only one force in the universe that creates this energy, at this point, science and religion come together. And we can understand that we are God because we are light. That is what we are. That is what everything is, in billions and billions of different frequencies or manifestations of light. And together, all the different frequencies create only one light. Intent is the force that creates the light. And we can say that light is the messenger of intent because it carries the message of life that goes everywhere. Light has all the information to create everything in existence, including any kind of life, humans, monkeys, dogs, trees, anything. All species of life on planet Earth are created from a specific ray or frequency of light that scientists call DNA. And the difference between the DNA itself may be minimal, but in the manifestation, it could be the difference between a human and a monkey, or a human and a jaguar, or a human and a tree. Light has many properties. It's alive. It's a living being. And it's extremely intelligent. It's creating all of the time. It's transforming all of the time. And it cannot be destroyed. Light is everywhere and everything is full of light. But we cannot see light unless it's reflected by matter. If we send an object into space from planet Earth, we see the object because it is reflecting light. There are no empty spaces between the stars, between the galaxies, between all the universes, which means all the universes are connected. You are a whole universe. The Earth is another universe. The Sun and all the planets around the Sun are another universe. All the solar systems together create another universe, and we can keep going and going until we see only one living being made by billions and billions of different living beings. Every living being is protected by the force that we call soul. The soul is the force that puts an entire universe together and recognizes the totality of that being. The soul makes matter impenetrable, which means it creates what looks like a division between beings. The soul gives shape to everything. Without this force, there would be no difference between you and a flower or a fish or a bird. Your soul was born at the moment of your conception, and it recognizes every element of itself, every molecule, every cell, every organ of your being. Your soul recognizes everything that belongs to your universe, and it rejects everything that doesn't belong to it. In the dream of the third attention, you're aware that your body is a whole universe made by billions of living beings, made by atoms, made by molecules, made by cells, made by tissues, made by organs, made by systems, until the whole universe is one. And from the point of view of the mind, it looks like there's only one point of view, the one behind your eyes. But if you go deep into awareness, you find that every atom in your body has a personal point of view, because every atom is alive. Every atom is an entire universe. It's nothing but a miniature solar system with stars and planets. What every universe has in common is that each one of them is alive with the total power of the infinite. You, that force, are alive. You are total power. You are truth. You are real. Everything else, including everything you know through symbols, is not truth. It's not real. It's an illusion, and it's beautiful. Light is not just intelligent. It has memory. It creates an image of itself. It creates the whole world of illusions that becomes your mind, the way you dream. Your dreams are not matter. They are a reflection of matter. And that reflection exists in the matter that we call the brain. The brain is nothing but a mirror. As we said before, if you look inside a mirror, you are seeing your own mind, your own dream. The first time you open your eyes, you start to perceive light, and light becomes your teacher. Light projects information into your eyes that you don't understand, but you were made to perceive light, to become one with light, because light is your other half. And because you are light, you are always creating, always transforming, and always evolving. Light goes directly into your brain and rearranges your brain in order to modify you, virtual reality, to make you a better reflection of itself. When light is modifying your brain, the brain by itself is modifying God's factory, the DNA, for the next possible human being that can come from you. And just as your body has many different organs, brain, heart, lungs, liver, stomach, skin, that all together create you, a totality, every organ in your body is made by different kinds of cells that create that organ. Do the cells know that together all of the cells are only one living being, which means you? Do we humans know that together all of the humans are only one living being, which means humanity? You are surrounded by billions of humans. Just like you, they were programmed to be human. Male or female, you recognize them. You know they are humans like you. You know. But perhaps what you don't know is that we humans are an organ of the beautiful planet Earth. Planet Earth is alive. It's a living being, and the entire humanity works for the planet as an organ of that living being. The forests are another organ. The atmosphere is another organ. Every species is another organ, and we all work together to create an equilibrium that is the metabolism of planet Earth. All of humanity is only one living being, and this is no longer a theory. We humans live together. We have the same kind of body. We have the same kind of mind. We have the same needs. We create all those symbols to understand one another. Male or female, victims, warriors, or masters, we're all the same. No human is better or worse than any other human. No human is better or worse than anything that exists throughout the universe. At the deepest level of our being, there's no difference between a human and a dog, or a human and a flea, or a fly, or a flower. We're the same. We come from the same place, and it doesn't matter where our story comes from. It doesn't matter if we're a Christian, a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Hindu. We come from the same place, and we're going back to the same place. The infinite creates everything in existence, and when the cycle is over, everything returns to the infinite. Of course the body dies, because the body is mortal, but you, the force, are immortal. In that force where the mind lives, the only thing that dies are the lies. In ancient Egypt it was said, if your heart is lighter than a feather when you die, then welcome to heaven. If your heart is heavier than a feather, you're not going to heaven. Lies cannot go back into power, but the truth returns to power, because the truth is the reflection of power. It's the reflection of the infinite. The question becomes, how heavy are your lies? Is your heart burdened with anger, fear, guilt, regret? In the dream of the third attention, the truth has already destroyed all the lies. And the only thing that survives is the truth, which means the real you. You are that force. You are life, which is truth. And from that point, your dream becomes heaven. Your dream becomes a beautiful masterpiece of art, a beautiful masterpiece of love. This leads you to the third mastery of the Toltec, the mastery of love. Or we can also call it the mastery of intent or faith. I prefer to call it the mastery of faith because it's a mastery for you to trust in yourself, which means realizing the power that you have, the power of intent, the power of life, the power of belief, the power of faith, the power of love. They're all the same power, of course. They're total power. In the moment when you master faith, you live your life in love because love is what you are and it's wonderful. In that moment, you completely accept your body, your emotions, your life, your story. You respect yourself. You respect all of the artists, all of your brothers and sisters. You respect all of creation. You love yourself unconditionally, and you are not afraid to express your love, to say, I love you, to others. When you master faith, when you live your life in love, you see your own love being reflected in every secondary character of your story, and you love every secondary character of your story unconditionally, just as you love yourself. This changes your relationship with the rest of the humans. It makes you completely impersonal. You don't need reasons to love someone or not to love someone. You don't even choose to love, because to love is your nature. Love is coming out of you like the light from the sun. All of your nature is coming out of you just as it is, without expectations. And your love has nothing to do with words in your head. There are no stories. It's an experience that we call communion, which means to have the same frequency, the same vibration as love. This is how you used to be before you learned to speak. Because you've evolved from the whole deep hell of the dream of the first attention into a better dream, the dream of the second attention, until you dream the dream of the third attention, where you know that everything you're seeing, everything you are dreaming, is a virtual reality made by light. For thousands of years, people have known that there are three worlds that exist within every human. In almost every philosophy and mythology, we find that people have divided everything into three worlds, but they've called them by different names and have used different symbols to describe them. As we've seen in the artist's tradition, which means the Toltec, these three worlds are known as the dream of the first attention, the dream of the second attention, and the dream of the third attention. In Greece and Egypt, they were known as the underworld, the world, and the upper world. In the Christian tradition, they are known as hell, purgatory, and paradise. The concept of the world that we have today is in many ways different than what people understood thousands of years ago. For them, the world was not the planet. The world was everything that we can perceive, everything that we know. That is why it was said that every head is a world. Because each of us creates an entire world in our head, and we live in that world. The majority of humans live in the dream of the first attention, the underworld. Another large part of humanity lives in the dream of the second attention, the world of the warriors. And it's because of this dream that humanity is going in the right direction and evolving the way it is. We usually believe that the upper world is all about goodness and the underworld is all about fear and evil, but that's not exactly true. All three worlds exist within every human. We carry the underworld within us just as we carry the upper world within us. In the underworld, a whole infinity exists, and in the upper world, there also exists a whole infinity, and both meet in the world, which is where we live. The way to the underworld becomes a choice, just as the way to the upper world becomes a choice. In the dream of the masters, we are aware that to make a choice is to have a power in our hands. We control our whole dream by making choices. Every choice has consequences, and a dream master is aware of the consequences. Making a choice can open many doors and close many other doors. Not making a choice is also a choice that we can make. By making choices, we can master the art of dreaming and create the most beautiful life. Anybody can be a great dream artist, but the mastery comes when we have complete control over our dream, which means we recover control of our own attention. When we master the attention, we really master intent, which means we have complete control over our choices. The dream of our life is going to go wherever we want to take it. In the ordinary dream of the humans, the belief system controls the attention. And because our personal power, our will, is weak, anyone can hook our attention and insert an opinion in our mind. The will, or intent, is the force that can move what exists or change the direction of what exists. The will is what holds the attention and moves the attention. Once we have enough power that we can use our will, we gain control of the attention. Then we can finally gain control of our beliefs and win the war for the control of our dream. In the dream of the third attention, we are not putting our attention on life. We are life. We are the force. We are intent. And intent controls the attention. The dream of the third attention is the dream of pure intent. We become aware that we are life, not just as a concept, but as an action, as complete awareness. Now we can see with the eyes of truth, and this is a completely different point of view. The first time you learn how to dream, your belief system creates millions of little barriers to the truth. When the structure of your belief system is no longer there, you take away the barriers, and you no longer see only one point of view. There are many points of view that you can see at the same time. You see yourself not just from the point of view of a human, but from the point of view of a force. You see yourself not just as a force, but as the manifestation of that force. You know that you are light, that you are just an image in the light, and you use your attention to witness the dream from the point of view of light. You no longer see everything outside of you as if it's separate from you. You feel the totality of yourself in everything. You feel yourself as the only living being that exists, and you don't just feel it, you know it. As we said before, you understand what you are, but not with words. You don't need symbols. If you use symbols to understand what you are, you can get lost in the symbols while trying to understand yourself. You call yourself a human. And perhaps you identify with that symbol. But in China, you're not a human. In Spain, you're not a human. In Germany, you're not a human. Human is just one symbol. And what is the meaning of that symbol? You could write an entire book and use thousands of symbols to describe the meaning of human, and still you would leave something out. And it's just one symbol. Using symbols to understand what you are is nothing but nonsense. Whatever you think you are will never be the truth, because symbols are not the truth. If you say to a cat, "Hey, you dog," it won't care. It won't answer back. If you say to a person, "Hey, you dog," that person will surely respond, "I'm not a dog." Some people may be offended and others may laugh. It'll be tragic for some and comic for others because we're dealing with different points of view. Do animals need to know the symbol for what they are? Well, they don't know and they don't care. They just are. They don't need symbols to justify their existence. If someone asks me what I am, I can say, "I'm a human being. I'm a man. I'm made out of energy. I'm made out of matter. I'm a father. I'm a doctor." I can use symbols to identify what I am, to justify what I am, to try to understand myself. But the symbols don't mean anything, really. The truth is, I don't know what I am. The only thing I know is that I am. I'm alive and you can touch me. I'm dreaming and I'm aware that I'm dreaming. Aside from that, nothing else is important, because everything else is just a story. Symbols will never tell me what I am or where I came from, and it's not important because I'm going back there anyway. That's why one of my biggest heroes is the cartoon character Popeye the Sailor Man, who says, "I am what I am, and that's all that I am." That's wisdom. That's complete acceptance, which means complete respect for what I am, because I am truth. Maybe what I say is not truth, but I am truth. And it's the same with you. You're alive. You do exist. That's true. But what are you? The truth is, you don't know. You only know what you believe you are. You know what you learned that you are. You know what you were told that you are. You know what you pretend to be. You know the way you wish to be seen by other people. And for you, it may be true. But is it really true that you are what you say you are? I don't think so. Whatever you say about yourself is just symbology, and it is completely distorted by your beliefs. When you finally see yourself without all the knowledge that you've accumulated, the result is, I am. I am what I am. You are what you are. And the complete acceptance of whatever you are is what makes the difference. Once you completely accept what you are, you're ready to enjoy life. There's no more judgment, no more guilt, no more shame, no more remorse. When you leave symbols aside, what remains is the bare truth, pure and simple. You don't need to know what you are, and this is a huge revelation. You don't need to pretend to be what you're not. You can be completely authentic, and because of that, you can deliver a message, and that message is the real you. Your presence is the message. It's the same presence you can feel when your first child is born and you finally hold it in your hands. You can feel the presence of the divinity in your hands without understanding anything, without any words. Every newborn baby has the same presence. It's God, the infinite, an angel incarnate, and we are programmed to react to the presence of a baby. The baby doesn't need to say a word. The presence of the baby says everything. Just its presence awakens the need to give, to protect. When it's your own baby, the instinct is even stronger, and then the presence is really something incredible. That presence awakens your generosity, and you just start giving to your child without expecting anything back, until perhaps a certain point when your child grows up, and it seems as if that presence was lost. When you were born, your presence was enough to awaken an instinct in the people around you to give you attention, to protect you, to try to fulfill your needs. You still have that presence, but it's been repressed for a long time. It's been waiting to come out. To really feel your presence, you need to be completely aware. You need to see your whole creation from another point of view, from a place where everything is simple. When you're not aware, everything looks completely illogical, and fear takes over and creates the big mitote. The fifth agreement is an important part of recovering what you are, because it uses the power of doubt to break all those spells you've been under. It's a very strong intent for you to use your magic to recover the presence that you lost a long time ago. When all of your attention is not on your story, you can see what is real. You can feel what is real. When you're not possessed by a symbology, you recover the presence you had when you were born, and the emotions of the people around you respond to your presence. Then you give other people the only thing you really have, which is yourself, your presence, and that makes a huge difference. But this only happens when you become completely authentic. Just imagine becoming the way you used to be as a very young child, before you understood the meaning of any symbol, before knowledge took over your mind. When you recover your presence, you're just like a flower, just like the wind, just like the ocean, just like the sun, just like the light. You're just like you. There's nothing to justify, there's nothing to believe. You are here just to be, for no reason. You have no mission except to enjoy life, to be happy. The only thing you need is just to be the real you. Be authentic. Be the presence. Be happiness. Be love. Be joy. Be yourself. That's the main point. That's wisdom. Those who are not yet wise are searching for perfection. They're searching for God. They're searching for heaven and trying to find it. Well, there's nothing to search for. It's already here. Everything is within you. You don't have to search for heaven. You are heaven right now. You don't have to search for happiness. You are happiness wherever you are. You don't have to search for the truth. You are the truth. You don't have to search for perfection. That's an illusion. You don't have to search for yourself. You never left yourself. You don't have to search for God. God never left you. God is always with you. You are always with yourself. If you don't see God everywhere, it's because your attention is focused on all those gods you really believe in. The presence of the infinite is everywhere. But if you're in darkness, you don't see what is there. You don't see it because you only see your own knowledge. You guide your creation through that dream, and when your knowledge can't explain what is happening in your life, you feel threatened. What you know is what you want to know, and whatever threatens your knowledge makes you feel insecure. But the moment will come when you realize that knowledge is nothing but a description of a dream. You are the unknowable. You are here just to be in this moment, in this dream. Being has nothing to do with knowledge. It's not about understanding. You don't need to understand. It's not about learning. You're here to unlearn. And that's it. Until one day you realize you know nothing. You only know what you believe, what you learned, just to find out that it wasn't the truth. Socrates, one of the greatest philosophers of all time, took his whole life to get to the point where he said, "As for me, all I know is that I know nothing."